in my server, serving me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot key in online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of a mouse.
Well, good morning. It's Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online 24/7 at WWGH1071.com. So if you're new to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, you might ask, what do we do on this show? Well, as you might deduce from the name of the show, we talk today's top technology topics, be they social media, how social media and the internet dominated world that we live in affects and is affected by politics, sports, and goodness sakes, whatever else might be on the agenda. Of course, politics being a big story right now, and you're probably a little bit tired of it as I am, but it's certainly a major news story, and the events of earlier this week were a bit surprising, to say the least. And so, I'm sure there'll be some political conversations sprinkled into today's show, as pretty much any of the shows that we're going to have on WWGH, because talk radio and politics, they do go together. Not to mention events of earlier this month, where the Chicago Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 100-and-something years, and I'm a Reds fan, but I'm a big baseball fan. Reds and the Cubs are in the same division, the National League Central. So congratulations to the Cubbies on the north side of the Windy City. And let's see if we have to wait another 100-and-odd years before they win again. Or maybe my favorite team, the Reds. They're promising young players will meet their promises, meet their expectations, and maybe the Reds will repeat as World Series champions, and that last happened in 1990. Want to give a shout out to my stepsister emeritus, Beth M. in Connecticut. Yes, for watching the video, and she does listen to the show occasionally. She had to take care of a few things, so she couldn't call the show, but Beth, I do invite you to call the show, hopefully, next week, next Thursday, when I also broadcast live on the air, and broadcast a live Facebook video, and we can talk about the technological topics of your choice. Of course, I'm still in shock that my stepsister emeritus, Beth, is a grandmother, because I still think of her as being 15 years old. But, you know, time flies, and that's kind of how we roll as Homo sapiens in the great world that we live in. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1. In addition to broadcasting live on the air, we broadcast a live Facebook video. In fact, myself and my fellow host, Mr. Ed McCants, a former star athlete and now a community activist, man with many erudite opinions. We broadcast our show, well, most of the time we broadcast our show live on Facebook video. In fact, Ed, I think you might be listening because I just saw that Ed liked my video, and thank you very much, Ed, for that. Feel free to call the show. We can talk about almost anything, as you're certainly a man with a plethora of opinions and lots of knowledge. 740-383-9944. If you are a Facebook friend of mine, go ahead and watch my live video. You can watch me doing the show. Did you ever wonder what it looks like when a person does a radio show live on the air. Well, don't have to wonder anymore, because you can watch me do the show. I mean, it really isn't that exciting. I sit here wearing my winter coat because the heat doesn't seem to work, but that's okay. And I'm right behind the microphone wearing a very nice set of headphones. So that's kind of what it looks like when people do a live radio show. But it is kind of cool, and Ed and I both enjoy doing that. Ed will be on tomorrow between about 13 minutes after 9 and 10 in the a.m., broadcasting a live show like I'm doing right now on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. If you'd like to call and talk about technology topics or almost anything else, we're pretty flexible, but this is more of a tech, computer, geek kind of a show, feel free to do so. I would love to hear from you. The telephone number is 740-383-9944. Ed, thank you for watching. Again, feel free to call the show. Your opinions are always welcome. And, of course, my frequent commentator, longtime friend and business associate, Mr. Nick C.J. from Brecon in Wales in the United Kingdom. Also watching and probably listening. Of course, our signal doesn't go all the way to Wales. It'd be nice if it did, but unfortunately it doesn't. We go about 15 miles or so radius from Marion, so pretty decent signal. But if you are not in the immediate Marion area, you can listen via the internet. Go to our website at www.wwgh1071.com, or you can also download the TuneIn app, which is free. And just go ahead and search for WWGH. And when you put that station as one of your favorites, hopefully, because we're pretty good. We're an extremely good station. Anyway, when you do that, just click on the little triangle thingy to listen, and voila. In a couple seconds, you are connected by the magic and power of the internet. And, of course, you can also call the show. I take your messages on Facebook. Feel free to add me as a friend if you've not already done that. Search for Adam Lepp in Ohio, or just Adam the Computer Guy, all one word. Let me know you listen to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on WWGH, and I'll be happy to add you. And you can watch the Facebook video, too. How's that for super major coolness? Speaking of cool, it's rather chilly here in the studio, but that's okay. If you remember the show Rhoda, starring legendary actress Valerie Harper, she talked about how she moved from New York City to Minneapolis, where the weather is a bit colder than it is in the Big Apple, and she thought that she would preserve better because the weather was cooler. So maybe that's okay. Here in the studio, I preserve well. My voice is crisper, and it'll warm up. This is the time of the year where it's 35 and frosty in the morning. But by mid-afternoon, it's in the 60s, and I can certainly live with that. Anyway, I'm sure you're tired of hearing about the election, but that's okay. We're going to talk about something which is technology or social media related and election related. There's a person called Chris Kearns, and like many people, he's asking himself what happened on Election Day. It was a bit of a surprise. Chris Kearns runs research at social media analytics firm Spreadfest, which is great to hear. But I'm getting a telephone call, so we'll repeat that story a little later. Want to talk to our caller? Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Thank you for calling.
What's going on, Adam? It's McCants, man.
Oh, good morning. Ed McCants, our local celebrity, former star athlete, and a man of many opinions. Much excellent insight, and I enjoyed hearing your participation in the show that we, of course, broadcast live from the studio on the evening of Election Day. How are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. How are you doing? It was an interesting time. I actually have a computer question today.
You have a computer question. That's okay. See, the good thing about the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, Ed, you don't have to deposit a dollar in the slot for every 5 minutes of expert time, because I do have 40 years of IT experience. And we actually offer free technical support on this show, especially for fellow show hosts like yourself. So what is it that I can do for you, sir?
Greatly appreciate it. Well, I always watch out. I have 4 or 5 computers here, and for the longest, I do a lot of YouTube videos, and you probably are familiar with the Microsoft Pro. No, I think it's Adobe Pro system and the Adobe kind of video making hardware, software stuff.
Yes, Adobe makes software for doing audio. Adobe Audition. They also bought a program called Cool Edit Pro and essentially turned it into Audition. That's used by myself and other radio people. They make video production editing software and, of course, the famous Photoshop where you can put a mustache on your least favorite person, brush off your ex, add more hair, make yourself thinner or more muscular, etc. Or just change colors and enhance photographs. All kind of fun things you can do with Adobe software. So, yeah, definitely familiar. And they continually evolve with their products.
Yeah, I use Premiere Pro, and as you probably know, it takes a lot of memory. So I tried to use one of my hard drives for that. Problem I'm having is I forgot my login password for that, so I haven't been able to get it in for 6 months. And my computer guy that I usually have is a guy in Mount Gilead, where I used to live. So now I kind of need a local guy.
Well, you said you can't find your Windows password.
Yeah, I don't have it. I haven't been able to even log in past the first screen.
Now, did you forget your Windows password, or is something wrong when you actually log into the computer?
I forgot it.
Oh, well, that's probably good news, Ed. Is it Windows 7, or what operating system are you using?
It was Windows 10.
Okay. 7 and XP, as you probably know, are easier to troubleshoot. As you may know from listening to the show, I don't like Windows 10. In fact, that's probably being generous. But under the hood, there isn't a tremendous difference. And in most cases, I can put in my magic CD, assuming your computer has a CD or DVD drive, and in 5 minutes, I can reset the administrative password, and you can go ahead and get back into the computer. It's actually a pretty easy thing to do. There's a little file that's kind of hidden inside Windows when it starts up, looking for the password. But that can be cleared if you start it up with this disk. If that's the only problem, Ed, again, I can fix that. I can fix that probably in a few minutes.
Sweet. Next question I had was, you know how you've seen The Matrix before?
I'm sorry, the what?
The Matrix. Remember the movie with Keanu Reeves?
Oh, I've heard of it, but I've not watched it. See, that I was thinking Matrix. My other car is a Toyota Matrix, and as a math person, I was thinking that the word Matrix used in math, and I'm thinking, okay, the movie.
Yeah, and in the movie, in most scenes on TV where you see a little dorky computer guy, he's on his computer, but they always have the mainframe able to hook up to two or three different screens where it's continuous, so you can drag the mouse across all the screens. How am I able to do that?
It depends on the computer. Now, with Windows 10, it can support, from my understanding, dozens of monitors. And there are many ways to do it. And in my studio that I have at my house, where I do some production and some other fun stuff, one of my computers does have an extension, and actually a USB gadget. It costs $29, that I plug into the USB port and turn that into another monitor port. But computers now, they tend to have 2 or 3 monitor ports. They're sort of phasing out DVI, digital video interface, in favor of HDMI, which, of course, is the same HDMI you might use on your TV or your cable box. That and the RGB, the old-fashioned 15-pin, which stands for red, green, blue connector. So generally, you can just make a long story short, you can just plug a monitor into 2 of those connectors, and you may have to make an adjustment in the BIOS. You probably shouldn't with Windows 7 or 8 or 10, but you could also go into the control panel under display, tell it which display is the main one, and also if you want to clone the display, that is, like some people do on a laptop, use the laptop display, then put the rest of it on a 45-inch monitor that might also act as a television if you want to watch TV on it. Or you can extend it where there's one 22-inch monitor that has one part of the screen. The other 22-inch monitor has the other part of the screen. For doing video editing, Ed, and this is like what I do with audio editing and also with Photoshop and my mail, just do your video editing on one computer and one monitor and do your other stuff on the other monitor. Or get a third monitor and use that for your Outlook for your mail and be really fancy.
I just say having a switch keypads. I have 4 keypads, and I just want to be able to use one keypad with all my computers, but then be able to distribute certain information like the Adobe Premiere Pro, my video editing software on one hard drive, and then maybe like my papers for school and stuff on my one hard drive, and then my final projects I like to put on another drive where I just upload them to YouTube. So
right, based on the computer, that if it's a bigger tower, there should be slots for a couple extra hard drives, but of course you could also have an external. A good idea would be to use an SSD, a solid state drive, because they are faster and they're kind of a new and latest and greatest thing, or one of those hybrid drives that's kind of a cross between an SSD and a regular SATA drive. As hard drives have gotten faster, more reliable, and they're also less noisy. They're not constantly spinning the 7,200 RPMs like your standard SATA drive. So you could put one of those in if there's a slot, and of course you could also have one that's external. So there are many different options, but I think you have the right idea there, Ed. And with what you're doing, things that are disk space hogs, and you want to distribute where the data is. But good news, and with the password, if that's the only problem, not having the Windows password, I can fix that in 5 minutes. Sometimes
okay, where are you located at?
My main location is in far northern Franklin County, but I travel anywhere in the state. I go to Marion regularly, so it's almost like a second home. So,
oh, sweet.
I'll Facebook message you my telephone number.
Okay.
And you can call me. I don't mind coming up to Mid-Ohio. Honestly, it takes me less time to drive here than it does to Winchester, Pickerington with the traffic, et cetera. No big deal at all. Southern Delaware County is kind of my home area, and not a bad drive at all to go up one more county. So not a big deal whatsoever. I will message
you. My dad drove to Wellington every day for about 10 years.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's the traffic, and when they're not doing road construction, it's a very simple ride, and I haven't even finished my coffee but by the time that I get up here. So no big deal whatsoever, Ed. I'll message you my phone number, and I'll be happy to provide the services that might be needed from your friendly neighborhood computer tech, yours truly. Ed, as a person who also broadcasts live video of the show, do you think that's improving our listenership and our rapport with listeners? What do you think of this idea? I mean, it's certainly novel. It's certainly fun.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt. Facebook Live is relatively new. I've actually noticed during the independent debates, if you get up late at night around 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, Jill Stein was on a lot on YouTube Live, actually. She's also been on Facebook Live. And just depending on your followers or what you're talking about or who your friends are, I think it can be extremely helpful, because it helped the independent party, not that it helped them gain any road in the race, but no other time was an independent candidate able to get on like YouTube or Facebook and be able to live stream like a live event that they're doing. Actually, this weekend I will be up in Bucyrus. There's a lot of people coming up from Florida. They're doing like a giving away $5,000 to $30,000 scholarships for rehabilitation for, you know, the heroin addiction, so they'll be giving out scholarships. But I felt like that'd be a good time to go on live, because maybe people don't check their thread. Some people prefer to watch TV. Some people would prefer to read the newspaper. It's kind of a new thing. So, you know, I think it's definitely beneficial to experiment around with it. And it definitely doesn't hurt kind of giving a backstage pass that's live to, you know, what goes on with radio, just to know what people enjoy listening to.
I guess that people that are not radio people, who don't know a lot about media, because media does change a lot. When I first was in radio, and that was the very early 80s, we literally had two turntables. We played 45s and 33s. We had these things called carts, which are almost like 8-track tapes in some ways. And everything now is fairly computerized, but we still have microphones. As you can see, I'm right there behind the microphone. We still have mixing boards, and radio announcers, they're just regular people. And many times just the opinion of somebody with good insight, with a lot of life experiences, that can help. Computers are omnipresent. They're all over. And someone like myself with a radio background, really more in music, really more in classic rock, that's really more my background.
Yeah.
As well as a lot of engineering and production and those kind of things. But using my computer knowledge through the business that I've run since 1995, I think it's a pretty good marriage, that I can use to be a radio guy and be a computer guy all at the same time and have fun with Facebook video and a few other things.
Yeah, I know for me, I'm kind of in that middle ground. I'm 35 now, so I'm kind of right in the middle of life, where I grew up reading the newspaper. I grew up listening to hear my name on the radio, where I'd hit record before I left out of the house, so my tape, my tape cassette would start 30 minutes earlier before my basketball game so I could actually hear the game when I got home. So I kind of grew up with kind of the basics of communication. Now, since I've been in school and I'm on Facebook since I started college, Facebook came out when I was like 19, 20 years old, just for college students. You had to have a college email, I remember, and now everything is digitized. There's kids that are 8 and 9 and 10 years old that have never actually seen a real-life phone plugged into the walls in their house. Some of the kids that are 4 and 5 and 6 years old do not know what a phone is that doesn't have an app. You remember when we had the little flip phones and, you know, all you could do was call, you could text, and maybe there was a little snake game on it. Talk about the only games you had. Now these little kids and stuff, you know, they depend on technology. I know my daughter, she has a tablet. She plays all type of math games on it, and she's able to decide that she wants to do math today with princesses, with frogs. You know, I think that's where the world is going. Even in the Massachusetts schools, who has the number one educational system in the country, they're honing in a lot on using the differentiations of academia in regards to what kids enjoy doing. So basically, instead of sitting in the classroom having to come up with a curriculum that hopefully all the kids will engage in, teachers now have an advantage if we're able to use it and implement these things into our educational system around here like Massachusetts is doing. We have an option now to appeal to each individual kid based on their interests. So no longer do we have to be like, well, this kid isn't getting the general curriculum. We can make the general curriculum part of that individual kid's personal interests and experiences, and I think that will help engagement. A lot of people don't even know the reason why your classes are usually 45 to 50 minutes is because psychologically, you only need the maximum amount of time you can focus in on a subject at that age is 45 to 50 minutes. So if we're to maximize that period of time and not kind of get kids lost for half of the time, I think computers can be beneficial, but in a few years, if radio radio is not going to have a hard time because they went digital with the TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, everything is digitized. So now people are able to tune in whenever they want. And we do have our system archived at WWGH, which is good. But we also now are on TuneIn, which is a satellite channel, which means anybody across the states can get it. So I think, like, radio will survive, but the newspapers, not so much. I think the old-fashioned print of going to the store and buying a newspaper is pretty much done as the older generation retires and, you know, fulfills their kind of their obligations and their lifespan here with us. My parents are 60, 65. I think by the time they pass away in 15, 20 years, God-giving. I don't think we even see the newspaper anymore outside of online journals.
And you mentioned the first cellular telephone device, and I giggled a bit. Flip phone, of course. I still have old flip phones in my office. My first cell phone was a bag phone back in 1989. Looked like a little athletic bag with a phone inside. Those phones had great reception. The problem was,
I remember those.
Yeah, when there was no texting, no apps, obviously. You're talking almost 30 years ago, but if you weren't the Columbus, Cincinnati, that area, we didn't have the 740 area code yet, so it was 614-5 and 513 was all the same area, so Cincinnati could actually be cheaper than calling on a landline phone because it was a local call.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to call Chicago, it was $3 a minute.
Yep.
If you have someone you really want to talk to, it isn't too bad. Of course, that was also in $1989. But right now, anywhere in the United States, there's no more long distance, and it's kind of hard to fathom that. I remember when I was a kid, you know, you'd wait till the evening when rates had gone down. This was back in the 70s. You know, we'd call relatives, and we had a lot of relatives in New York City, and it was 60 cents a minute during the day, and like 60% off if you called during the evening. And that's just unfathomable right now. Even I have a little trouble grasping how things have changed in that regard.
Yeah.
And the methods of communication. Again, but as you say, radio is still radio. We didn't have TuneIn. We didn't have listening online. We had listening the old-fashioned way, but we still have that.
And yeah, I think it's here to stay. It's just it's kind of switching forms of how it's broadcast and got out to the public.
I mean, the main thing I've seen, and this has affected me greatly in the last couple of years have been large increases in royalties when you play music. I was managing and doing a morning show on a classic rock station. It was based in Maine, and we folded, literally, and I literally closed the station on New Year's Eve because royalties for online stations went through the roof. I mean, literally 5 to 10 times we would have had to have paid versus what we paid before. So many of the online music stations have folded, but there are no royalties with talk radio. And so talk radio, it will be increasing. And with myself, I'm, again, more of a DJ and music person, but I think in my, you know, number of years, which of course increases every day, I've developed a plethora of knowledge on many topics. Obviously technology, because I own my own business and I've been doing it, working with computers since the 70s, but been a businessman since 95. And your experiences, Ed, as a community activist, community leader, athlete, you're certainly someone else who can contribute greatly. And it's good, you know, you're relatively young for someone who's really big into the radio business. And it's good to hear that. And we love having you as part of the station. Your insights are always good. I listen to your show. I listen to the archives if I miss it. And we really appreciate the variety of entertainment here on Marion's Talking Place.
Well, for me, growing up, since I've been probably 12 or 13, I probably have the most articles that have ever been, like, in the Marion Star. And, you know, it's due to basketball. But what that did to me personally was it kind of made me a little bit of an introvert, where I didn't like to be out all the time because anything that I could do from a young age would be scrutinized. I mean, getting in trouble at the YMCA over, you know, trying to shake a piece of candy out of the vending machine could get around potentially all the way to Children's Services where my dad worked. And then I'm hearing about the conduct of his child. So I didn't have a lot of room for error growing up. So when I went to college, it was no surprise. You know, I got in a little bit of trouble, and it was actually fun. It was fun for once to get in trouble and be like, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. It was kind of a rebellious stage, although it's hard to be in a rebellious stage when you're at a university like Northwestern. But, you know, basically what it taught me at the end of the day was accountability and just familiarity and comfortability with, you know, being who you are on the air with the press, with the country. I mean, I haven't just talked to the Marion area. This is probably the smallest base I've talked to, but it's the base, obviously, I love the most because I'm from here. This is my town. But after sitting around for 6, 7 years here in Marion and kind of seeing the things that were going on, I'm like, you know, I can probably offer a little bit of assistance. You know, I don't know how the powers that be feel about that, but at this point in time, I'm 35 years old. I'm kind of on the younger side of my political aspirations. And, you know, I think it's a time that, you know, some of my experiences being across the world and with different cultures and some of my notoriety, I think it's a good time to kind of bring the community together and let them know that Marion can tackle some really, really big obstacles out here together. And our kids are going to be the ones that reap all the rewards for it. Like, my career is over. You know, I can toot my own horn about basketball and all that stuff. It's over. But the dream that I have is for these kids. And if people would like to trust a person that was able to come from Marion, Ohio, and be featured all the way on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I can provide those same types of avenues and opportunities for their kids just based on networking. But most of all, the actual grassroots hard work and infrastructure here in Marion that needs to be developed for that to happen. I feel like everybody wants it to happen, but no one really knows how, and no one really that's in charge wants to ask for some help. Well, whether they want my help or not, I'm going to go ahead and extend it anyway because I still love my city and I have an obligation to bring back my experiences to the city and allow that to improve. Why wouldn't we allow that to improve things? So I hope that my messages are heartfelt and well-received, but the radio has given me a good outlet to let people know who I am from top to bottom in the weird, quirky things and also in professionalism. A lot of people don't know me. They just know what they've seen in the paper. Like I said, I haven't made myself that accessible. So people don't know who I am as a person. So I think radio, WWGH, has definitely helped, you know, kind of broaden that horizon and get people to get a little bit of insight into my life.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. Of course, as you know, Ed, that stands for frequency modulation, but it also stands for frequently marvelous radio. Because with shows like yours and mine, and of course our local broadcasting legend, Charlie Evers, our station manager with the penchant for celebrity guests, Mr. Scott Spears, Linda Sims, and much, much more.
That's knowledgeable crew.
No question. What do you think of Scott and his celebrity guests? I was really quite amazed by the people that come on that show. What's your opinion, Ed? I mean, Marla Gibbs from The Jeffersons, she's one of my favorite actresses of all time. She's on regularly. Some pretty cool guests with Scott. We have some pretty unique content on this station.
Scott has to be one of the most knowledgeable guys I've ever met. And before I came on the radio, me and Scott would just meet up and talk for hours about stuff, and that's what kind of got me interested in radio. I didn't know if I wanted to do it, just because, you know, it was kind of a break for me not to be kind of in the public light or the local media, you know, countries or wherever I was at. So it's good to kind of be on the sideline, but I just got to itching again about, you know, relating to the community with, you know, different avenues we can go and just throwing out different ideas. But Scott has to be the most knowledgeable guy that I've ever met in my life. Well, most of the time, guys that are on radio are very, very knowledgeable, and he has a wide array of guests. He doesn't form an opinion before he hears someone's story, and even then, he will always form an opinion. So I think that makes him an excellent host. I think that's why people and senators and representatives and city officials come on to the show. I think the world of Scott, and he definitely has a plethora of knowledge. I pick his brain all the time, same way I'm picking your brain just about the computer software, because I'm younger, I do have some ideas, and I'm innovative, but I always have to keep my eyes open for new things, new knowledge, and I think WWGH and their crew are able to provide that in a lot of different areas. You know, I think it's a very, very informative show.
I appreciate
WMRN. They're not a bad show either. I've listened to Jeff Roof my whole life, and that's what I grew up listening to. So,
yeah, I think, Mary, we have some good radio people here.
Yeah, we do.
And it makes me proud to be in this market. It's quite exciting. And, again, I got back into radio after a break of quite a while. It is addicting, but it's a good addiction, and it's interesting, and I can use my computer knowledge as a way to provide information over the airwaves, have some fun. Hopefully people will learn something, and we can enjoy the conversation, as I think we need to talk more, spend less time playing video games and less time providing pictures of your cat on Facebook. There's nothing wrong with that by any means, but I think it's important that we interact the old-fashioned way, and radio, that's one of those ways. And we can use the marvels of technology, be it the Facebook videos, be it TuneIn, be it the show archives, things you couldn't do back in the 70s and 80s. And use that to enhance the radio and overall broadcasting experience. We'd like to give a shout out to a fellow radio person, another radio celebrity. She's actually at one of the top female voiceover artists in the world. Her name is Carrie, and she lives in Illinois, and she's watching. Carrie, thank you for watching. Feel free to call the show. She's also a wealth of knowledge. Like myself, she's a karaoke person, very technologically savvy person who uses technology to her best advantage. But you really can't change the voice that you are given. You can do a few things with technology, but there are people that are gifted with excellent communications and verbal skills, and that's important, as you know, Ed, in the radio business. Ed McCants is calling in. I'll let you get back to your day, Ed, but you're always an interesting person to interact with. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience? Any suggested topics on the Adam the Computer Guy show?
Since it's a techie show, just use technological advances to expand your knowledge of people. Obviously, I had the opportunity to go overseas to experience different cultures firsthand, but I think, like, even with the election, there's a lot of people that both voted for Trump and against Trump that are a little skeptical of how his policies are going to go over with the rest of the world. And I think it's actually a good thing that we have these different type of networks and YouTube and the ability to access what people are doing across the world, because even as the protests go on in North Carolina and a lot of bigger cities in America with people that supported Hillary, I think the rest of the world can see that, and they can see that the U.S. is divided in their policies. I would have to think that ISIS or any other terrorist group would be a little wary of that, to see that, okay, maybe America is having a civil dispute, but the one thing, just like they're saying, the one thing that's uniting them is ISIS. I think they can see we all don't support Trump necessarily. He is our president and commander-in-chief now come January, but I think that they're still able to see that we're a little divided on it. Maybe that will hold their animosity and their unity as far as trying to attack America, because they see that everyone doesn't have the same ideals. Obviously, you got to remember, Trump's in their countries running businesses, so they must not like it either. So it's just good that we're able to communicate, and if you choose to, people can open their eyes to some of the different ideologies and different cultures of the world, and I think that's where technology can be used as a plus.
For sure. Radio being old school, but as we discussed, Ed McCants, again, my special guest, a former star athlete who a lot of people have heard of. He's from right here in Marion. He does a show on Friday morning, same time as mine, about 9:13 a.m. until 10 a.m. each and every Friday morning, discussing many good topics, including Marion, what's going on around town, things that are happening, things we'd like to work on, improve. And, of course, also a plethora of opinions. And like myself, Ed, not one to shy away from an occasional wisecrack or interesting anecdote. But bottom line is, yes, for all generations, radio does bring together technology and social media, because you can broadcast on Facebook, NFL, NFL broadcasting on Twitter, as well as the good old-fashioned milk of human kindness. Get a cup of coffee and just hear what people have to say.
Yeah.
Do enjoy the field very much, and I find myself getting back into radio wondering, why did I ever leave the field to begin with? It doesn't really pay very well. Maybe that's the reason, but it doesn't matter. It pays with fun. It pays with enriching your life, and that's more important than anything a dollar bill can give you.
Certainly.
Speaking of dollar bills, as you probably know, Ed, another celebrity is from Marion, the Honorable Mary Ellen Withrow, person who signed many dollar bills. She's on the station at least once a month. And so
really?
We have our other regular celebrity guests. And so we have many people from around the area who stop by the studio, who call in via phone and Skype. This station, as far as I'm concerned, rivals not just stations in Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, but New York City and Chicago. Look at the kind of guests we have. Look at the show archives. Ed, I know on your page you constantly promote what shows were on recently, and I appreciate that, because as you probably know, I'm the webmaster, and I spend quite a bit of time on the website, but I enjoy every minute of it. And
yeah.
Take a look at some of the guests that Scott has on the air. Again, some of my favorite actors and actresses: Robert Guillaume, Marla Gibbs, Charlotte Ray, Pat Carroll. It is Cool with a capital K. Of course, that's K-E-W-L, the way you spell cool. Thanks again, Ed, for calling. And,
no problem.
Everybody, be sure to listen to his show tomorrow morning between about 9:13 a.m. and 10 Eastern Standard Time. It's called Marion 2020.
Yeah, inbox me that number, man. I need my computer fixed.
Thanks, Ed. I actually just did while we were talking. And I
all right, Adam. Thank you, man.
Have a great day. Ed McCants there, my special celebrity guest caller and fellow host here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Still time for you to chime in. I would love to hear from you. Many of my Facebook friends have been watching my video, which I really appreciate, and I've been able to interact with them while being on the air, something which Ed also does. And again, major coolness, a way to I guess, do a hybrid of modern technology, modern conveniences, modern networking with the old school radio, where you just talk and interact with your listening audience. The phone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. As Ed and I discussed briefly, long distance is really a thing of the past. I remember 40 years ago, again, if I wanted to call my relatives, my grandma in New York City, we were living in Columbus, and if I wanted to call my relative and my grandma or other relatives in New York City during the day, it was 60 cents for the first minute. And that was 60 cents in 1970s dollars, which was around the cost of a gallon of gas. So not exactly bargain rates, but long distance is basically a thing of the past. And with some telephone apparatuses, even calling Canada or Europe is a local call. But even if it's not, the cost to call Europe is not usually not more than a few cents a minute compared to a few dollars a minute back in the 70s or back on the original cell phones, the bag phones, or the first generation of flip phones. About 10 minutes before 10 o'clock here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. Of course, that stands for Frequency Modulation. Also stands for Frequently Magnificent Radio, because that's what we are on Marion's Talking Place. You can listen online via the website that yours truly maintains, hosts, programs, blah, 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 WWGH1071.com. Beep, beep. That's right. I don't mind tooting my own horn once in a while because I'm very proud of the website. And again, my fellow host, Ed, who we talked to earlier in the show, promotes the website and the show archives frequently, and that's greatly appreciated. And of course, I'm also broadcasting a live video of my show. You can watch me do the show sitting here in my coat because the heater isn't heating very well, but I'm warming up. That's okay. And the coffee does help. If you're a friend of mine, look at my live video, or of course, search for Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy, and that is I. And you can watch me do the show. How about that? Did you ever wonder what a radio host looks like? Well, really just a regular person, but sometimes the mystique is part of the fun. Before Ed called, and again, feel free to call. I'm taking your calls live in the air, and I'd love to talk to you. 740-383-9944. I was talking about the election, of course. The election and social media, how they intermingle. And if you're like myself, you're probably a little bit tired of hearing about it. But in some ways, the predictions of the election, of course, they may not have been correct. And how has social media influenced what happened earlier this week, what may be happening as we approach the inauguration date of the new president, and what might have happened if social media didn't have such an influence on all those things? And that's a common topic that we talk about on this show and many others. And again, if you would like to speak about that, feel free to do so. I'm always interested in your insight. 740-383-9944. Coming up right after yours truly, this and every Thursday, it is our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. Now, there is a man with a plethora of interesting anecdotes related to his experiences living in the Marion area for a very long time. He's been a radio personality for 50 years, at least. And, of course, he does take your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. Also, following Charlie, as Ed and I discussed, it is our station program director, one of our managers, Mr. Scott Spears, with a program that's called Now. And now Scott is someone with a penchant for celebrity guests, people from around the area who are well-known. Mary Ellen Withrow, for example, the treasurer under the Clinton administration. I used to say the first Clinton administration or President Clinton number one, but looks like that will be the only President Clinton. So I know I'm going to go back to saying the U.S. Treasurer, dollar bill signer under the President Bill Clinton administration. She's from the area. She's on with Scott at least once a month. And as you can well imagine, she is someone with a large number of stories and insight and an opinion. Always a great guest. If you miss any of these shows, of course, you can always listen via our website at WWGH1071.com. Or, of course, listen live the old-fashioned way. My name is Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. I'm your friendly neighborhood IT person, information technologist. And we talk technology topics. We talk about social media and its influence on life, changes in technology, things like robotics and self-driving cars, medical technology, all kinds of cool stuff. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features here on Marion's Talking Place. Getting back to the story that I was starting to talk about before Ed called, and Ed and I had a great conversation. Really appreciate that. It was cool with a capital K. Again, K-E-W-L, the way you spell cool, at least the way some people spell it. Chris Kearns, he runs research at a social media analytics firm called Spreadfest. And He's wondering what happened on Election Day. He had a large amount of social media data at his disposal on Tuesday, on Election Day. But he was seeing so many conflicting signs in the presidential race between the Donald and the Hill, as I call them. He didn't feel comfortable giving the edge to either candidate. He said, I wasn't confident calling anything. It was still too tight. Before Donald Trump's upset victory, CNET News, CNET being a website with all kinds of great IT information that I use for material for this show and read regularly, at my desk at my office. So anyway, CNET asked Spreadfast, they're based in the capital of Texas, Austin, to see if its data could call which candidate would be the next president. Now, could social media fill the role that exit polls have traditionally played? It proved tougher than expected. Now, Spreadfast wasn't alone in struggling to predict this outcome, but they got it wrong. Political pundits and analysts, many of whom had correctly predicted previous campaigns, were also wrong or quite surprised. They did not believe that a Trump victory was possible. So you wonder what went wrong. Kendall Tucker, the CEO of Polis, he's an expert in the field, said part of the problem is that polling methods rely heavily on phones and the internet, both of which leave out large amounts of the population. Phone polling relies on landlines, which are falling in popularity, and online polls miss older voters who aren't quite as technologically savvy as younger voters. Now, Ed and I were talking about how school-age people and younger have never seen a landline phone, don't even know what a landline phone is. And myself, I remember a phone with a dial back in the 70s. I remember paying extra for touch tone. That wasn't even that long ago. And remember my first cell phone, which was one of the old-fashioned bag phones, which looked kind of like an athletic bag. The phone, which is about the size of a regular landline phone, was inside the bag with a big battery, the big battery being the main reason why you had the bag phone. And you could put it in the car, kind of like putting an athletic bag or a small piece of luggage next to you, and you could use it to take calls and call people. It worked great. The sound quality was very good. It was analog, and many times analog does sound better than digital. But digital does offer so many capabilities and fancy features that it's kind of the way to go. But the problem was, unless you were a very rich person, you wanted to keep your usage of the phone down because it would cost, in my case, $3 a minute to call Chicago. You could use your regular minutes to call anywhere in the 614 or 513 area code for about 30, 35 cents a minute. That wasn't too bad. There was no 740 or 937 area code back in the late 80s. So you could call Cincinnati, Dayton, Springfield, Delaware. It would be a local call, which wouldn't cost much more than the long distance at your landline. But if you did want to call, again, even somewhere close like Indianapolis, definitely want to get out your checkbook. And the telephone industry has certainly changed. Cell phones have changed, and long distance is pretty much a thing of the past. So some technology tidbits and history for you. We invite you to call the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday, right after the 9 a.m. features on Marion's Talking Place. And again, with long distance, not really something that you have to worry about anymore. Even if you're in California listening online, you can call me, probably with no charge whatsoever, at 740-383-9944. I want to thank you again for listening. My show is ending in about 20 seconds. Up next will be news and features, teasers about shows previous, present, and in the past, and current shows. And then news with Scott, and then our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers, 50-plus years of broadcasting in Marion. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Talk to you Tuesday. It's AdamTheComputerGuy.com.